Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
So you know I'm obsessed with candles, right? Have you ever heard of massage oil candles? Okay, so get this. I always light candles when I'm enjoying a glass of wine with friends, and recently they were over and I lit 3 candles for my new line called Emily and Tony. My skin felt really dry, so I went ahead and poured some of it on my hands and I gave myself a quick massage. My friends were stunned that I did this and immediately were obsessed. And here's why. See, these candles are really aromatherapy massage oils that when warmed like a candle, they melt into the most luxurious body oil that is super hydrating, leaves your skin feeling and smelling amazing, and it's perfect for massaging your partner or yourself. You can use it during foreplay, and you know me, I'm a firm believer in foreplay. They come in delicious flavors like creme de vanilla, cocoa, and fougere. Not just that, they look great in your home. So help us keep this podcast free. Check them out today at emilyandtony.com. And you're welcome.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. That feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can listen to our podcast, sign up for our mailing list, and you should definitely sign up for our mailing list because I promise I won't spam you, I won't do anything bad like that. You'll actually enjoy my emails because you're probably listening to this show because you want to have better sex and you want a better relationship. So that's all I try to do in my newsletters to you. And I also give you a report, the 5 biggest mistakes men are making in bed and women are making in bed. You can choose whoever you are, man or woman. We'll give it to you. Also, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Sex with Emily. And as always, you can email me all your questions to feedback@sexwithemily.com. I do read all your emails, might not always get back to you, but I try to. And if I don't, I read them on the show, and I do love hearing from you. And I love your feedback. What shows do you like? What don't you like? What made you happy? What made you cry? I hope I never make you cry, but if I do, I'm totally cool with that. We can have a talk about it. Today's show, I'm very excited for my guests here. They are the infamous women from the Ask Women podcast.
Hey.
Hey. Hi. Marnie Kinreys. And we also have Kristen Carney.
That's right.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for having us, Em.
It's so good to be here. I feel like we're like swapping.
We are. Yeah, exactly.
I was on their podcast last week, which you have to check out at Podcast One.
Yeah, Podcast One, podcastone.com, or you can go to iTunes and download Ask Women. But you were phenomenal.
Thank
you. You did 2 episodes. You've only aired one of them, but it was amazing.
Aw, thanks.
I learned something because we spent the first half hour talking about the clitoris, where to find it, what to do with it, and it was really
Did you learn where to find the clitoris?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
You did a great job, but I've been looking since and I have not found it
yet. Still haven't found it. Well, we're going to have a little. That would be a good video after the show, actually. Kristen finding her clit. Exactly.
I would start that looking at my toes.
I'm so glad you guys. I really enjoyed being on your show.
Yeah,
you guys
you
are
great
duo. It's really, you do a lot of. So, first of all, I want to talk about who you guys are. So, first of all, Marnie is from the Wing Girl Method.
Yeah.
She's the consummate Wing Girl.
you know, that you're your best friend that you bring to the bar and you're like, hey, I want to talk to this cute chick. But you've made a life career out of it, which is amazing.
I've been doing it for over a decade now.
I know.
And actually, so now I'm the virtual wing girl. So it was really hard for me to be available to men constantly as being their personal wing girl. So now what I do is I have a website, thewinggirlmethod.com, and I help men around the world understand women so they can attract, date, seduce, and get any woman they want.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. And if you go to sexwithemily.com/wing girl, we also have you sign up there.
Oh, yeah. And you get a free giveaway. My book, 10 Mistakes Men Are Making with Women and How to Avoid Them.
Oh, okay. I love it because they're making a lot. Okay. And Kristen, you're a comedian.
I'm a comedian.
She's very funny.
I do the opposite of Marnie.
I laughed a lot. You guys, that's why you're good. That's why you're good. You know, crew. So you're a comedian, actress, and host. Your credits include Comedy Central, Funny or Die, TLC. Written work has appeared on some e-cards, Hello Giggles, Comedy Central, and Wistream. So what in your YouTube channel?
Yes, in my YouTube channel, which is something that my friend and I have been really enjoying doing. It's our sketch group is called See You Next Tuesday. Because we're kind of cunty, but we're actually not cunty at all. We're okay. Really nice.
Is it like see ya? It's more like Call Me Tuesday, I won't be there. What?
It's the abbreviation for cunt.
Like, what?
Abbreviation for cunt.
Oh, it is? See you next Tuesday?
Except
what? Did you not know
like
this?
The letter C.
Oh,
U,
no.
But we change
really
it to
slow.
S-E-E.
I got it. Yeah. Okay, so youtube.com/see you next Tuesday, but it's S-E-E. See, this is why I didn't get it because I'm slow.
Yeah, but unfortunately that link was already taken or that, you know, direction, whatever it's
Who
called.
Who else wanted the C?
I know. I don't know.
What
they're
do you
weird.
Mean everybody
There's
else wants
right.
it? You're right. I want it, actually.
Yeah, so it's See You Next Tuesday comedy. Just so you know. But yeah, I work with Marnie on the Ask Women podcast, and it's a good back and forth because Marnie has all the advice and she's really smart. And actually this weekend people were asking me questions and I was like, glad to email Marnie. Email
really?
Marnie.
What were they asking? So what kind of questions you get asked?
Everything.
Okay,
honestly,
like,
everything.
What's the top, because people ask me this all the time and I love, I can just ask the red bag to you. What are the top questions that you get asked by your listeners?
The top questions are approaching women that guys are fearful of approaching. So, and the friend zone. Those are two huge topics
huge,
for a lot of guys.
Me too.
It's like,
okay.
What do I say? How do I approach? There's this girl that I want, blah, 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 blah. What do I do? That's the main question that we get from guys.
Okay. And so what do you tell them about approaching women?
Just do it.
Just do it, right? Do
that's
not
a,
pass
that's
go.
A shorter
Don't
version.
We're the Nike of dating.
The what?
Yeah. The Nike. Just do it.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. It's true. They think too much. If you
They think way too much. Here's the thing. So we talk about confident people all the time. And we actually talked about it when you were on our show too. And a lot of people think that to be confident, you have to be confident 24/7. But you don't have to be confident 24/7.
Right. You can sit in bed and cry and eat.
Yes, absolutely.
Ben and Jerry's. I guess it's chicks. But
yeah, no, but
guys
even for men, they get down on themselves for a very long time.
Into so Ben and Jerry's.
If they approach a girl and they get rejected, they can carry that rejection for 30 days, 50, whatever
some,
it is.
Some people
for
carry
a
lifetime.
A lifetime. Exactly. And so the thing is with confident people just know how to bounce back really quickly. They have tools, which is what we provide them with is in their tool belt, so that they can bounce back quickly and they don't live in this place of rejection and loneliness and disappointment with themselves.
So, yeah, so many of them do. And it's so true that, you know, or you always hear about the guys in high school who didn't have game and they never get it because they got rejected so many times. You
see
them and it's like after a while you do. It's like everything's like practice makes perfect. You get rejected enough, especially living. I can tell you in the entertainment business, Kristen, you know this too, being in entertainment. Like, I got rejected 8 million times starting Sex With Emily. I still get rejected. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm almost like proud. Like, at the point, it's like, okay, another rejection. Like, at the beginning, it was really painful. And now I'm almost like, not
yeah,
that
because
I expect
you can,
it, but I'm cool with it.
Well, you can wear it as a badge of honor saying, I did this many times. And so. Based on that, I mean, it's like if you're in the entertainment industry, that means you're getting up in the morning and you're actually doing what it is that you're trying to do.
Right.
It means you're not staying on the couch. And so it's the same with guys when they're going out dating. If you're getting rejected, at least it means you're out there doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Because so many other guys, they're just sitting on their couch. They're waiting. They're hanging out with friends. They're, you know, they're playing video games. I don't know what they're doing, but they're so afraid.
Here's the thing with practicing getting rejected. It's one of the exercises that we talk about all the time, like to actually enjoy rejection. But when you're practicing, you don't want to practice doing the same thing every time with different girls. You want to start tweaking little things, seeing what works. Practicing is
right.
So that you can actually make it perfect. Right.
That would be creepy if yeah. you were doing the same thing every time.
Exactly.
And almost getting off on being rejected.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
you don't want to
do
that. We talk about it on our show, like what to say, how to say it. The thing is, you don't have to listen to exactly to what we say. We give you the guidelines and guidance, and then you get to go out there and practice it and see what works. And that's the fun part. When it's not about, okay, my success isn't I'm going to approach this girl and we're going to go home and have sex. It's I'm going to approach this girl and I'm going to practice approaching and get that down and be really successful and then go on to the next step.
Right, because that will build your confidence if you approach them correctly. So what would be the things that you think that men are doing that are wrong? How is a typical man who gets rejected a lot, why is he getting rejected?
He's being a wimp. He's not asking for what he wants. He's not going after what he wants. He is, I call it nice guy manipulation, where instead of being a bad boy or a jerk or, I don't know if I can swear on this show.
Yeah, totally.
But an asshole, what they're doing is they're setting aside their intentions and covering them up. And what they do is they pretend to be really nice and really pleasing. And when they're being really nice and really pleasing, they forget to actually be themselves. They forget to state their opinion. They forget to say how they feel about things. They forget to speak their mind. They forget to be who they are.
Right.
And that's where the friend zone comes into play for a lot of guys, which I actually call the fake boyfriend zone, because it's not the friend zone.
Right.
Because with your friends, you're hanging out with them. You fart in front of them. You call them out on their shit. You challenge them.
Right.
You tease them, whatever. You poke fun at them all the time. Guys who are in the friend zone with women don't do that to women. And if they actually
Because they still really want to sleep with them and they like
yeah,
them.
Yeah. And if they actually acted more like a friend, like when they're with their friends, they would get more attention
that's a
from
really
women.
Good, that's a really good point. So women, because those are like, yeah, we don't think you're hot. We think you're sweet and nice, and we want you.
But
to
you
hang
don't
out,
make us feel anything at all. There's no challenge there. There's no excitement. There's no intrigue. There's no curiosity being built up about who is this guy that can talk to me that way.
Exactly.
And I'm not endorsing, you know, being an asshole and putting a woman down. But what I'm talking about is actually challenging a woman. So for example, if you're sitting with this woman that you really like, and she's talking about her ex-boyfriend and crying on your shoulder, which you know most guys get into that situation,
right?
There's two different guys. One guy can sit and listen to her and make her feel better and tell her how wonderful and how beautiful she is and blah, blah. Another guy can say, all right, like if you keep talking like this, I'm going to have to charge you $150 an hour. Let's get up. Let's go out and go dancing.
Exactly.
And have a really fucking good time.
Right.
We're super sexy right now and we're not wasting this.
Right.
And then you go out with each other.
Exactly.
That's way more exciting.
That's how you fall into the exactly.
That just
don't
really
the
made
therapist.
Me want a gay male friend. Like, girl, you look hot and we're going to go shake it.
Exactly.
Like, that's
like
what
the
I want.
The gay best friend.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, to the women listening as well, be aware that you're manipulating guys in that sense and know look to other people in your life to see if you can get that fulfillment from maybe that guy that you're doing it to. If you
right.
do have the gay male friend, go talk to him. You know,
exactly.
He doesn't care if he's in the friend zone. That's his purpose in your life.
Right, exactly. It's really funny because Kristen keeps saying I'm the one who gives advice, but she's gotten really
yeah.
good at giving advice.
Yeah.
I'm like learning. Well, you guys are experts, and so I'm learning from the best.
That's good. Well, you know, we learn from life experience, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't start out being like a sex expert. I started out just, I was having
Talking
some bad
sex.
Sex.
Yeah.
No, but I was having some bad sex. I was like, really, I got to the point where I was a documentary filmmaker, and I actually used to work in politics, and I thought, I love the documentary process of interviewing people, but then I was like, what if I'm going to devote my life to something, what is it? And I thought sex and relationships, because it's infinitely interesting. I wanted to understand how relationships
yep.
work. I'd always seemed that bad sex was the culprit, and I had bad sex, was having bad sex at the time currently, which at the time that I started the show, and I was like, enough of this. How can I have better sex? There's got to be better ways. And then I started interviewing people. And now, like 2,000 shows later, I guess I can say that I am an expert.
It'd be funny
doctorate.
If you were like, and then I started sleeping with people.
Exactly. And
but
then
it
I started
was good.
Having
you
sex.
Guys
and
I
was
like,
oh, that's yeah. it. But it's funny because it's one guy, and it's so bad because his actual problem, this wasn't the only reason, guys, but he. Not only was he a premature ejaculator, have you ever been with anyone like that, Minuteman? Or they mm-hmm. just can't
I actually it? Haven't, but I have friends who
okay.
do have that issue.
So it wasn't even like, because you could say it's a minute or 2 minutes, but it was just that a lot of times it's just that they come before you want to or before they
yeah.
want to. And he never worked on it. He smoked a lot of pot because there's a lot of things that you could do to kind of work on it. And he just wasn't pleasing. It was bad. But that leads me to actually Promescent. It made me think of my bad sex and why I started the show. Promescent is one of our amazing sponsors that helps us, you know, keep the show on the air. And it is kind of amazing. They're changing the world one premature ejaculator at a time.
Why? What do they do?
Because it is a So check this. It's a mild desensitizing spray that it basically allows men to last longer in bed. It's the only
FDA
approved.
You know what they're doing?
What?
They're creating lives because they're putting that sperm in the vagina.
Exactly.
Rather than on the belly button.
Or in his pants before he even unzips.
Exactly.
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 So they're saving lives and creating lives.
Exactly. I love that. I should tell them that. That's mm-hmm. a good tagline.
Yeah.
I'll give you credit for that. Totally, Kristen.
Thank you. So I went to school for advertising.
You did? Did you? Can we talk after?
Yeah.
So it's the only FDA approved treatment. So what happens is, though, you don't... So it doesn't get the woman numb. And men, you spray it on the penis, and you spray it on the penis, and it actually doesn't transfer it, because if you wait 5-10 minutes, she won't feel it, and she doesn't have to know you're using it, but you last longer. But it's not only for... There's also this thing called you might have this if you haven't been with a premature ejaculator, which I found interesting. I've done a lot of studies on this too, is the orgasm gap. So your typical woman takes anywhere between 15 to 20 minutes to orgasm.
Really?
Your typical man, 6 to 8 minutes.
Really?
So even if you're lasting 6 minutes, but she takes 20.
It's like in dog years.
Right, exactly, right? So you want to last a little. A lot of guys can't last that. Like, you're like, really? Are you like, you orgasm in a minute? I hate you.
No. Well, it depends. If I'm doing it by myself, I can know how to make it happen faster. But if I'm with a guy, yeah.
I know.
Or with my husband.
That's really great. I know. See, I'm not that quick. So it also just helps the last longer. So check out Promescent. Go to my website, sexsellme.com. Click on Promescent. Check it. You'll love it. So that's how I started it, being the expert. I wasn't always the expert. And I think you are giving wonderful advice. You guys do give great advice on your show. So,
Thank you. So
that's the case. We talked about the friend zone. That's a big one.
Well, one thing that I do want to say to build on top of what you said, I remember there was one point where I was starting my business, and I started the same way as you.
Right, you did.
Where I wasn't an expert. I just had an opinion, and I would hang out with my guy friends and I would give them advice, and the advice would happen to work. And something that Chris and I are really good at doing is setting aside our own egos and not giving typical female responses. Like, we dig deep to think, what do we actually respond to? Because most girls won't tell you. They're very uncomfortable saying, or they actually don't even know, and they're not aware of what they really respond to and how they actually act. They have these dreamy wants, and that's the information they typically relay to guys in their lives, like guy friends or anybody else who's asking. That's the information that they relay.
Right.
So when I was figuring out, okay, I'm not an expert, and people in the media would ask me, why are you the woman to listen to? I wouldn't really have an answer. And so I asked my one friend, and he said the way to really truly become an expert is by teaching information, because then you're gathering and collecting information. So it's kind of very similar to what you did. And that's kind of what we were just talking about a minute ago, by going out and practicing doing your approaches. If you don't know how to do something, you can find somebody to teach, because then it puts you into an authority role where you're actually absorbing and researching instead of being like the loser who you might think you are in your mind, going out and bothering people at malls.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And you're not, and you're beating yourself up, but you haven't even tried. So I think we all do that, right? Like, I'm bad at this. I failed at this once. But like, the more you do it, the more
it becomes easier.
And you can see
some guys think, I wasn't born with the skill. He's better at it. They look at their friends, but you can learn it. It's a learned skill.
It's a skill. That means it's a skill. Any
it is skill
a skill you
set.
Can learn.
Exactly.
It's habitual.
What's interesting is that
you're on.
Now I'm going to choke.
Right.
What I've realized is that from listening to Marnie, a lot of the advice you can not only relate to just relationships, but life in general.
Yeah.
And that's how I started computing it, because I'd never really thought or cared enough about relationships or dating or sex or anything to try to learn or think. But all of a sudden it became something that was relatable to me in my own life. And now when I do talk to people, like this weekend I was talking to this girl, I have taken that authoritative position because Marnie's not there next to me and actually helped. But it's because I'm understanding it in my own way from my own life experiences, not necessarily through relationships.
Right. But just from
through my own experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
well,
so
but
true.
It's funny, because the other night I was talking to my husband, who's having some difficulties in his sales process. And I always compare it to girls. Whenever he's like having a challenge in business, I'll always put it into the realm of, okay, let's say this was a dating scenario. How would you deal with it? Because he was great in dating. He was very confident with women. So
your sexy ass.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But he nailed me down. So like for him, it's funny that both things, dating and business skills or sales, whatever you want to call it, have very similar skill sets attached.
Right.
Like if you're not assertive with women, you're going to fail miserably. If you're not assertive in business, you're going to fail miserably. So whenever I compare it to women, he knows exactly what to do. But on his own, when he's trying to think what to do in business, he's like, what the fuck do I do? How do I write these emails?
Right.
How do I reach out to these people?
Because you let what you're insecure about in that inexperience get in the way, rather than putting it in a perspective of something that you've done before.
Yeah. perfect.
Yeah, no, so, just that Marnie's husband having trouble in sales, it's because his nervous thoughts are getting in the way of him actually realizing that he knows how to do it.
Right. And we all have our own answers. That's the thing, too. Like, yeah. We do all kind of know what to do, but we second guess ourselves.
Right. And it's avoidance by asking questions and trying to not necessarily learn. Learning's good, but the asking questions and should I do this, should I do that? It's avoiding doing what you know you should do.
Exactly. And we all know deep down. So where do you think that women need the most help, too? I mean, do you hear from women? I mean, you're the Ask Women podcast. But
yeah,
where do you think that women are kind of falling short when it comes to finding their guys?
Well, the truth is, I think that some women are putting off men without knowing that they're putting off men. And they're actually not realizing how challenging it is to be a man in the dating world right now. Because I think we have this fantasy as women that we are going to be with Prince Charming. We're going to be with this man who is exactly like Matthew McConaughey, whatever the hell his name is, in 10
Still
Things.
Still waiting for that.
Or whatever I don't even know what that movie was. But whatever it was, where he just like goes in, he has the right things to say at all the right times, he's super smooth. And the truth is that most men are not like that. But once men get past that first interaction, they are solid, unbelievably amazing men.
Right.
And a lot of women cut off men during those 5 minutes.
It's
first
so
5 minutes
true.
Of interaction.
Yes. And I have to follow up with this. This weekend I was working at this event and I had to figure out how to pack up all the stuff that needed to be shipped on a pallet. Okay. So that's like stuff I don't know how to do, but I was left to do it. And so I had done it all on my own. I was like heavy lifting and there were a lot of men there and I had this plastic wrap that I needed. It was giant and I needed to wrap it around the pallet. And this just guy walking by who clearly worked with his hands, who was working at the event, just was walking and I just made eye contact with him. And I just showed him the plastic. I go, how do I do this? And he came over and he started wrapping that plastic and it was like porn. Like it really was.
Right. It
watching a man
porn.
Do that stuff, like, oh,
yeah.
Huh.
And he had his like little work belt on and he knew how to do it and his arm, you know, you could see the muscles in his arms going. And I really felt that moment because I don't really feel those feelings all the time. I really felt that throwback feeling of when a man was a man and the woman was petite and didn't
we want
and needed
sometimes
help.
We just want a man to take care of us. It's true. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's it. Also, is confusing. For
I looked
women
at
too.
His hand to see if he had a ring on. Just you know, because it was like
really?
So. Yeah,
you did the glance.
Yeah, because I was
isn't
like,
isn't
it funny?
You get
sexy.
Like past age 30. I don't know. I think you're past. And like, I feel it wasn't in my 20s. I didn't even think about it. But like past age 30, is like it automatically meet a guy, you go down to the ring.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, absolutely.
You got to the finger.
Yeah.
It's just like this automatic. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if guys do that. Do guys do that as much?
Looking at the ring?
Yeah, like
I don't know.
To the ring.
But then they can probably ignore the ring afterwards.
I've had guys say, oh, you're not married. And so obviously I know that they've done the glance without me noticing.
Right. It's like the secret. Mm-hmm. Is he married? Right? But you're like, why waste my time?
Yeah but going back to what you know, women are doing wrong is that they're not helping a brother out.
Like exactly.
Yeah. And they could more.
They're not giving him a second chance.
They're not giving them a second chance. They're not being more open. They're not helping with the conversation. Because, like, you've been working with men for a very long time. So have I. We talk to them on our show. And we hear the challenges that they go through. The thing is that I get to work with a lot of men one-on-one because I do coaching with them as well. And it's funny. When they're with me and they're in their element, they are the most freaking amazing men ever. They're super successful. They're very driven in their career. They have everything put together. They own a home. They have a great job. But when it comes to interacting with women for that first interaction, if they find a woman attractive, they completely fumble and become different versions of themselves. So women don't get to see the put together version that I see. And if women could actually help, I know that women don't want to help men become more comfortable, but if they could help and assist a little bit and let men be more at ease and not give them such a hard time, they would get to see that amazing man that I get to interact with.
So don't
and
like
they would
cast
have
him
chances.
Off because he fumbled through. But aren't men always casting women off? Like, don't men decide in 3 minutes whether or not they're going to sleep with a woman? And then they
Men are based. What I've learned from doing the show is that men, not to say that they're super shallow, but and they're not. But a lot of them are based just on looks. They'll see the woman and they'll say, "Eh." But what I've learned is that women are much more into the personality. So women won't look at a guy and rule him out in the first 10, 20, 30 minutes
so
where
many
a
more
guy
attributes.
Will.
There's, in fact, 18 attributes that women are attracted to.
Really?
And for men, like...
For men, it's like 2.
Yeah.
Right?
That's biologically how we are made. That's for evolutionary reasons that's how we're constructed. So women can be swayed in many different directions based on these 18 characteristics. So it takes a lot more to...
What are some of them?
Being driven, being passionate, being committed, being loyal, your status. Oh God, my brain is not working.
No, but you're right.
There's a lot more things that are things that men would never think of that women care about. To be honest, looks is one attribute on that list.
It's not huge on our list.
And a lot of the time, not the way that they think looks matters. Exactly. It's not about being like chiseled abs and a beautiful face.
We got a comment on our iTunes recently, which bothered me because it said, unless you are a Johnny Depp lookalike, 95% of this information on the show is useless. And actually, it's completely not, because we've said many times that it's not based on looks. We've talked about having the bald George Costanza of Seinfeld more appealing than the Brad Pitt.
It's so true. It's absolutely true. Yeah. Guys don't understand that. And that's another message that men are telling themselves. It's a disservice. They're like, well, I don't have this. I don't have that. Because, like, even if a man doesn't, you know, he thinks he doesn't have a lot, he's got a crappy car, I got no job, I live at home. Like,
yeah, you have a bad attitude. That's why you're not getting any women.
Exactly. But that's not why you're not getting laid.
And if you have the bad attitude and you're bald, it makes you five times more bald than you actually were to begin with.
Exactly. We didn't even notice you were bald until you had that bad attitude.
Right.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's so true. So it's good because, a lot of guys are like, I'm not good looking, whatever. But you also teach men, both of you, that doesn't matter. All that stuff doesn't matter. Like, we're not necessarily looking at all those things.
It's not the main thing that we're looking at. Honestly, if somebody is really good looking and they have a horrible personality, the really good looking is only going to last for a very short period of time and get very boring. Same thing if you're super funny. If you're only funny, sorry, Kristen, but if you're
She's
only funny,
that's
then it's not going to go very far. Like, for example, if I get approached when I'm out and we're bantering and we're having fun and then there's nothing else after 3 minutes, I get exhausted and I'm like, come on, dude, what else do you have?
Right.
Like, go into another level, try and like connect on in a different way. It's boring.
That's
for
what women want. The brain is our largest sex organ in the sense of that's what turns us on. We want the conversation. I mean, the guys that I've gone out with, so my friends are like, really? Like, they're like, you don't get cute guys at all. It's not true. I've dated some handsome, whatever, but mostly for me, it's like, if you turn me on intellectually, mm-hmm. personally, you know, you're emotionally, I'm so there. Like, you grow on me or you, whatever.
Yeah. And a lot of women are, I mean, evolutionary wise or whatever, we are attracted to men that remind us of our father. And so whether or not that comes across in looks or personality, I know for me, I'm attracted to a certain type of look of man that not all women would find attractive. And so the man may not consider himself attractive, but the woman would still, for whatever emotionally psychological reasons, find you attractive.
Yeah.
So if you view yourself in one way, maybe your crooked teeth or, you know, your nose that goes the wrong way, for whatever reason, is sexy to her. So you have to remember that as well, that there's not one traditional look of hot.
Well, I always tell guys that something really interesting happens when a guy approaches, right? So when a guy approaches me, I see him one way, and then when he opens his mouth and 30 seconds into the conversation, his face like literally starts to morph in front of me. So if a really good-looking guy with a great walk and a confident smile walks up to me and he's a complete dud after 30 seconds, he becomes much more unattractive to me very quickly. And it flips on the other side as well. If there's another guy who, you know, maybe still walks up as confidently, has a little bit of a smirk, is like 5'4", bald, whatever it is, I may have an initial reaction to him because of his looks. That's all I have to go by in the very beginning. And we are all judgmental and superficial in some way.
Of course.
But he can slowly win me over. And again, his face starts to morph and I see him completely differently. Mm-hmm. Like we did Greg Fitzsimmons' show the other day. I don't know if your listeners listen to him or whatever.
Fitzstock Radio.
Okay.
But he's not the most handsome of men. I had a huge crush on him by the time I was done.
That happens all the time.
100% agree with Marnie.
Yeah.
And he pulled off his hat. He's bald.
Right.
And he's
nothing wrong with bald men. There's nothing wrong. Right.
He's very funny. He's very confident. He's only about 5'5", 5'6".
I think shorter.
Yeah. Honestly. I mean, he's a very short man, thin, waif-like.
Yeah.
Right. I hope he's
very
listening.
Skinny.
Very skinny. And super sexy.
And super sexy.
Super sexy.
I found myself.
Because he listens.
He asks good questions and he has a balance between funny, but then he's also intrigued by you.
And then he looks
assesses
you.
It's
oh my God,
amazing.
I want to go on a show just to get turned
really
on.
It's really sexy.
And he talked about his brother having, I think the terminology he used was evil eyes or crazy eyes, because he would stare at you during the conversation. But Greg had a good balance between staring and not making you uncomfortable. It was almost like staring, like, I'm looking into you and
right,
I understand
exactly.
you and
like
I want to know more.
Looking down at your breasts.
Right. I mean, he is kind of pervy, though.
But I was
pervy,
okay with it. Which
that's
is,
the thing. And intrigued.
Yes.
That's a perfect combination.
But that's the whole thing. But that's what I'm trying to say. He was bald, very skinny, not very good looking, a pervert, and we still wanted him.
Marnie and I.
Both of us. And we have different types
so,
that
hey,
we like.
See, this is amazing information for men. So if you are sitting around and you're like, oh my God, I'm feeling bad about myself. I'm bald. Not, I don't know where happy I'm. I've dated many bald men.
So have I.
You're bald.
Right. It's fine. So none of this stuff matters. You should be very inspired and you should check out the Ask Women podcast and also go to Marnie's site and you should laugh at Kristen's YouTube video and all that
Thank
stuff.
Thank you.
Page. Yes. Okay. Can we talk about sex for a minute? Because it is
yes,
sex.
Yes, sure. Of course.
Okay. So Marnie, you're married.
Yes, and so I don't have sex.
Okay, you don't have sex,
I'm
exactly.
Just
so I want to know, how do you keep it? You've been with your partner, your husband?
10 years.
10 years. And I know you have good sex.
I have good sex.
So I won't get into all the details you've shared, but how do you guys think you keep it interesting? Because this is like the top question I get asked.
The truth is we keep it interesting by being curious. I'm a very curious person. My husband is not as curious. He's 10 years older than me. But because of my curiosity,
you are such a curious
person,
right?
I am. Well, obviously, for what I do for a living, you know, I'm a very curious person. So I want to know what he likes. I want to know what I like. And I want to always continue to grow with our sex lives.
Right. See, that's the number one thing. You have to keep switching. So what was the last thing you did that was kind of outside the box for you guys?
I think I told you about this, actually. But the last thing that I did that was out of the box for me, which it's not even right, that out of the
matter.
Box.
Everyone's out of the
but
box.
But this one day,
for others,
my husband was having a really stressful week. And I'm like, you know what? I have sexy lingerie that I rarely ever put on. It was like a Thursday afternoon. And I'm like, I'm going to just put my sexy lingerie on, have some high heels.
I love it.
Pour him a glass of whiskey and be lying on the couch ready for him when he comes home. And he walked in the door in the afternoon. He's like, whoa, what's this? And we had unbelievable
See, that's
sex.
Amazing.
And it was
and
nice.
It's so how easy. You pull out the lingerie. It could be his t-shirt. It doesn't matter. But
I felt amazing
sex,
too.
Right. Because he wanted you. You felt desired. It was a great little something you could do to spice it up.
Yeah. And the thing is that I'm not like an overtly sexual person where I've in the past showed up at his door in a trench coat. And
I
was sex.
Right.
I've never done
That's Kristen,
anything like
right?
that before. Yeah. Right, exactly. Right. That would be funny if secretly you
I'd
were like some
show up with a trench
victim.
Coat
She's
with actual
naked
watches
right now
and side selling them. I'd like be like, can you give me $100 for this watch?
But see, I love that. 10 years and that's what you got to do things like that.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. People are like, I don't understand. What do I do? It's like one thing different. You know, give him a blowjob when he walks the door, make out with him, make plans, initiate sex. The number one complaint I hear from men is that women don't initiate sex enough. As
see,
far as
I am the initiator. In our sex life.
And you're okay with that all the time, initiating?
I'm not okay with that, to be honest. I wish he initiated more. But it's funny because we were having this talk. Who were we talking with? But Catholicism came up. And I forgot my husband is Catholic.
You forgot?
Yes, I forgot. Well, because he plays the Jew. I'm Jewish.
Right.
So he plays Jewish all the time.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, I forgot you're Catholic. So you were growing up with sin in your household. Oh, because
you
guys
were
talking
about it.
When
he brings it in.
We were talking about it on the show the other day. Right. And I was realizing, like, maybe that's what it is. There's like the Madonna and the whore thing. And so I brought it up to him. And he's like, yeah. You know what? He's like, I can't help it. He's like, subconsciously, that probably is how I see you. You are my wife.
Right.
And before you were my girlfriend who I love.
So,
and I want to treat you with respect and love and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
you're like
the
spank.
And you're like, yeah,
every
but I
once
want you to
in a while,
throw me up on the wall.
Yeah. Exactly.
Every once in a while, women do want to be thrown up on the wall. It's true.
More
and
than every once in a while.
Yeah, like right now, guys. Okay, what about you're dating? You have a boyfriend?
Yes, I have a boyfriend.
Okay.
5.5 years.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything interesting you've done lately that was sort of outside of your realm?
Well, we had sex, which is outside of my realm.
It was the first time in 4.5 years, and it was amazing.
Essentially, yeah. No, I don't have, and this isn't great for your show, I'm sure, but don't have a huge sex drive and or sex life, which I feel very sorry for my boyfriend. We don't keep it shooken up because we just need to have sex. And, you know, honestly, that's really
right.
He wants to have sex. I have no desire to do anything different.
Right.
Because I'm uncomfortable.
Oh.
No.
Do you have orgasms?
I do.
Oh, that's good.
I do. And that's the weird thing. I'm like, I have no like sexual drive at the beginning.
Right.
But like once I'm in it, basically the way I can compare sex is to like, there's a pool in front of you and it's glistening and the sun is shining in and it looks so heavenly, but it's like 60 degrees and you do not want to put your foot in.
Right.
So for me, that's what sex feels like. It's almost like when it's right there and there's a huge thing in my face, that's that cold pool. And I'm like, I'm so cozy, just like wrapped in my blanket. And I don't want to go through this.
Well, what,
but once
what
I do.
You into it? What eases you into it? So like, let's say, because you get that question a lot.
Yeah. Touch eases me into
it. Yes, touch.
Touch. And I mean, I'm so rudimentary in this conversation, but literally, if my boyfriend just holds my vagine.
Right.
Like, just.
It's true.
Literally. And just
don't start sticking your fingers in, but just hold it.
No, yeah, just hold it. And it's almost
the energy, the heat from
his
hands.
The blood starts flowing a little bit. That, and then progressing from there. But if he just starts to want to have sex, it's like, I don't even know I have a vagina at that moment.
No, so that's
unless
interesting.
That is interesting.
Unless there is something being warmed up or cooked a little bit, then nothing's going to happen.
Well, you were talking about that on our show on the Ask Women podcast. You were talking about how important it is to have foreplay, to take your time, to go slow with women. And so you're not saying that you don't like sex at all. You what you don't like is the way that he approaches sex.
Right.
Yeah. That's actually very true.
You don't like how he doesn't warm you up as much.
No, but I think he's had a lot of negative reinforcement where he's tried and I have just rejected him. So I think what in his mind is going on is like, this moment is fleeting and I just need to get it as fast as I can because this girl is insane and, you know. So I've discouraged him from doing the warm up just because of my reactions in the past to sex. So I think he's afraid to even initiate warm up.
So how can you maybe change that around?
Have a conversation.
Talk about sex. Mm-hmm. Communication is lubrication. That's what I always say, that you got to talk to your partner about sex. And the more you talk about sex, the better sex you're going to have. It's so true. And we actually have to wrap up. Is that true, Anderson? We've got a few more minutes. Okay. The thing that I want to say that is, and also another good analogy for you is, or for women who don't, or men who don't want to have sex, I always say it's like kind of like the pool analogy. It's like going to the gym. It's like you don't want to go.
Yes.
The hardest part
feels
sometimes.
Amazing.
It's like, afterwards you're like, thank God I went to the gym. But then you're like, you're putting on your shoes and then you get, it's the hardest, but then you get out the door and you get to the gym and you're like, I'm going to do 5 minutes and then you're there for.
Yeah.
Yeah. For an hour and a half.
Before you're in full sweat.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
and then you're so glad, glad that you went. And then another thing I have to say is, okay, so sex, if you've been dating, what would you say has been like your biggest turnoff for men? Like, what are the mistakes that sexually that you think that men have been making or that you've come into that have like they just haven't been doing to turn you on, or that just
forgetting about being me and not connecting at all? I'll tell you a story about the first time that I ever had a one night stand.
Okay.
So for me, I grew up as a huge prude. No, you know, I never wanted anybody to touch me. But the one guy that I did have a one night stand with, what he did, we were making out and he reached to take off my bra and I clenched up right away. And as soon as I did that, he looked at me and he stopped. We stopped making out and he said, if I'm doing anything you're uncomfortable, just slap my hand.
I love that.
That is great, right?
Mm-hmm. And we'll stop.
Because he cared. It showed that he was like, it wasn't just about him.
Yeah, because lots of guys would push through and just say, fuck that.
Right,
she's
exactly.
clenching. Screw her.
Exactly.
Or
they don't pay attention.
They get totally turned off by it and say, okay, I'm leaving now.
Yeah, and they were like, you know, I don't want to deal with this crazy chick. It's like, no, she's not crazy. She just wants to feel
nervous.
Safe.
Exactly.
Safe.
And like I'm present and that he's present
and
too and whatever it is.
I feel like so many men are afraid of getting shut down. And another reason is that they've gotten rejected so many times in their life that they go so fast. They're like, I'm afraid of getting shut down. I'm not even paying attention to her. I just want to get her clothes off and get it in there. And it's like, slow the hell down. Foreplay is so important. We need foreplay to have better sex. Women, we can't go from 0 to 60.
No.
Just because you walked in with a raging boner does not mean that I didn't even see you here. Like, what? You're in? You're ready to have sex with me? I'm not even ready to go. Another complaint we have is hygiene. That's why I'm gifting you both with my Down Under Comfort. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, I love it.
So Down Under Comfort, emilyandtony.com. It is my new product, Down Under Comfort. It is basically a deodorant for your down unders. Men can use it anywhere they sweat, their balls. Women can use it down between their legs, your lower back, your breasts. It's how amazing does it smell? Wouldn't you want to get more
awesome
jobs if a guy smelled like that?
Yes.
You don't. It's a citrusy. Like a lot of men use talcum powder. Carcinogenic. It's
well, there's
it doesn't
also
smell
something
very nice either.
Because this almost has that scent where it's not a powder. Like it doesn't smell like baby powder, but it smells like powder. And there's something really, really with it drawing you in with that smell.
It's sexy. It's a citrusy.
Nice smell.
It makes me feel comfortable.
And you won't
like
sweat.
A baby.
It's like a baby's bottom, but
it
citrusy.
Is. It
and
is.
You don't sweat, and it's cream to a powder. It's not messy.
Yeah, no, it doesn't feel like too
liquidy
or anything. It's
really
nice.
A miracle. So that's my gift to you both.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone should check out your podcast. It's the Ask Women podcast at Podcast One.
Yes, and on iTunes.
And on iTunes.
And subscribe because you will get it every Thursday to your phone and you will not have to worry about it if you're on the flight or whatever.
I love that. It's so easy and I love it and I loved being on your show and you guys are going to have to come back on again soon. And Marnie is Wingirl Method, sexonly.com/wingirl. They can get some special gifts there.
Yes.
And your YouTube channel.
Yeah, just go to YouTube. Go to youtube.com/cunt. No. See you next Tuesday comedy.
I love it.
On YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah.
And also, I want to thank everyone for listening to Sex with Emily. Check me out on Twitter and Facebook, Sex with Emily, and Facebook and all that. And that's what we got for you. Subscribe to my show on iTunes is easy too. And go to Sex with Emily. Thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.
Good Vibrations carries the hottest toys and vibes. I love the Jeju Mimi because it's discreet yet extremely powerful and great for couple sex. Find out how much pleasure your body can really handle. Use coupon code EMILY for 15% off at sexwithemily.com/goodvibes.